702
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za.
The 702 app.
And on DStv channel 856.
8 minutes after 9 o'clock, you are on 702. Let's walk the talk. My name is Thabo Shole Mashao. I'm standing in for Aubrey. We are together till 12 midnight. We've got quite a lot to discuss. And in the previous hour, we were talking about infidelity and divorce. Who would likely enjoy the favor of the court in that instance? Of course, the dynamics and variables are many, and there isn't a formula. It is often guided by factors and the particularities of the story, as Claire has said. So if you've just joined us, you've missed out on a very interesting session wherein the husband lost out on the pension fund accrual of the lady that he was married to, simply because he was philandering, spending money on the mistress, among others. Those were some of the factors. And the court thought, no, we are not going to grant you those benefits as a result of that and many other issues that have been brought before us. So Claire Thompson is with Wits Incorporated, and she was giving us insights, legal insights into that. In this hour, though, between now and 10 o'clock, I'd like to open up the lines for you and many others who would like to say something about Eusebius McKaiser. We are paying tribute to him, a great broadcaster who is now no more. The news shocked many of us when we got to hear about the news this afternoon. And this is an opportunity for you to reflect on Eusebius's work, his personality, what it meant to you, particularly as the news consumer, current affairs consumer. And I know a lot of us fought with Eusebius. Many of you would get into serious disagreements with him. But that's par for course, right? Those issues come with the territory. And that's why we do what we do, not to be liked, not to agree with everyone, not to get or attain consensus. No, but to ventilate the issues honestly and frankly for the benefit of discourse and democracy in a country. And no one knew that better than Eusebius McKaiser, who then left us earlier this afternoon. I would like to hear from you if you want to say a word or two. He was on this platform for quite some time, by the way. He was on 702, wherein he hosted a couple of shows, I think three, if I'm not mistaken, until he left, where he was hosting the 9 to 12 midday show, which was known as the Eusebius McKaiser Show at the time. And you wouldn't want to miss that kind of a show. You truly would not want to miss that show at all. Some of the things that come to my mind, especially when I was consuming and listening from the other end, was when Eusebius took corporates, government, individuals, political parties to task equally. He didn't hold back. He attacked vociferously. He stood up. And he really fought for justice. You'd remember, I don't want to bring the company's name here right now, because it's bygones. There was an insurance company that refused to pay for a gentleman, I think, who was bent in a certain vehicle. And the widow was in tears crying. And that company insisted for days on end that they're not going to pay the benefits because there was no disclosure of something that was completely irrelevant to the death of the insured. I mean, the family of that gentleman, they were just not happy at all. The issue landed up on Eusebius's desk. Needless to say, the CEO was on Eusebius' show. Needless to say that the CEO tried his best to fight. And I remember Eusebius pushing the CEO for an answer and saying, "So are you going to pay? Are you going to pay?" He said, "No, we are not going to pay." And I think an hour later, a statement came out from that company that they would pay the benefits to the insured, who's now no more. And clearly, that had a lot to do with Eusebius Makaiza. The issue of the unfortunate issue of a boy who died at a school trip after a swimming expedition and who drowned therein. Again, I don't want to bring people's names because these are bygones. I remember Eusebius dissecting that story every single day on the show, even outside the format of the show, in order to get to justice. So he was not just indulging in intellectual prowess for purposes of academia, and that's it. His thought process was directly meant to change the lives, particularly those of those who are vulnerable, those who are on the periphery of development. It was not intellectualism for the purposes of intellectualism, to boast, to brag that you know this, you don't know that. It was not about that. It was at the end about justice for the person on the ground. We can say so much, including on issues of racism, that he really, really fought, including disguised racism, all sorts of racism, coded racism. And there were some people who were irritated with him and said he was race-obsessed, but he dissected those issues incisively and clinically. And we have lost a great individual. We have lost a great broadcaster, commentator, and later on as the station manager of this entity, has said, Mzo, that he later on went to do amazing work on print, although he was doing print work nonetheless. But particularly after this, the podcast, the two podcasts that he had for Times Live and his own personal podcast, and the work, the columns that he wrote for Times Live. And I had a privilege of knowing Eusebius personally, and I had a privilege of exchanging not pleasantries, but interesting conversations. Some conversations are confidential, of course, private, but I think Eusebius was just one great individual, let alone his great mind. But as a human being, he was just out of this world. Like I said earlier on in one of the interviews, that my memory of Eusebius was that we had pitched for a TV work. We didn't pitch at all, actually. He was headhunted to do an elections show by one huge broadcasting entity in South Africa. And he then asked me to join him to produce for him and put the show together and do this and that for him and work on the show and do whatever we needed to do. And when we went to that broadcaster, the gentleman wouldn't budge to put down the money that I had requested. They were happy to pay Eusebius, but the money that I had requested, they were not happy. They gave us a runaround. And Eusebius, with a very serious face, a serious look on his face, he just said, "If Tawa is not in, I'm not in." And he left it at that. And I'm just saying, we are not venerating the person because he was our colleague. We are actually reflecting on a life of an individual who was clearly committed to the issues of equality and justice. Genuinely so. Not just on radio, not just when the cameras were on, also when it mattered the most. Joining us right now is none other than your favorite, of course, Dr. Eve, with whom Eusebius shared many interesting interviews, as many of us listened intently to those meaningful interviews that opened our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to issues that we never thought we would be open to. Dr. Eve, hi, welcome. I am heartbroken to speak to you under circumstances, yeah, but such is life. Mm. I'm not going to ask how are you. I'm going to ask, what are your reflections of UB? I hope you holding up.
Yeah, thank you for that, Thabo. I'm currently in America, and when I got notified by the producers that this is what happened, I felt an immediate gutting. That's just what happened. I felt as if I'd been gutted, punched in the gut around this. On reflection of stories and my relationship with Eusebius, I first met Eusebius, it was in around 2007, I had heard of him academically in terms of his work as a philosopher and with a specific interest in ethics. And in 2005, I had joined the board and began to be part of the initiation of an NGO called Gender Dynamics, which was the first African NGO for transgender and gender identity people in South Africa, and Africa, in fact. And when we had our first conference, the first person I could think of to fulfill the part of ethics to be able to teach us about how to move forward in a very new area in this country, which was looking at transgender rights, was Eusebius. And he flew down to Cape Town to talk and to present to us at the meeting. It was the first time I met him. He seemed like a very young boy at the time. This beautiful young man who just came with this brilliance and with this willingness and openness to talk about something which really wasn't openly spoken about. It wasn't something which is as woke as it is now, transgender issues. And from then on, we kept in touch. And when Reedy left the show, my show, Eusebius was given a choice of keeping the Dr. Eve show or not. And with alacrity, he jumped in and didn't hesitate at all and said, I want to keep Dr. Eve's show. And for 4 years, Eusebius and I worked together on a weekly basis. And working together with Eusebius, he pushed the edges. He pushed me to the edges. We would discuss the show. We would go into great detail around what we were going to do every single week. And whatever I brought to him, however edgy it was, however controversial or provocative it was, Eusebius was on board with me around that. I think when I think outside of my show even, when I think of Eusebius, and I'm talking now, Thabo, as a white person and maybe even as a white woman, what I think Eusebius brought to white people in terms of my exposure to my shows was he taught them about racism. He taught them about what it was like to be a black person in this country. And he was provocative and he pushed people and he challenged people, especially white people. And in that way, he made such a huge dent in this country, I think, in white people's consciousness around what it really is like to be black in this country. And for that, I am eternally grateful to Eusebius for that part of him. He was kind. He was incredibly generous with me always. We had wonderful discussions. As you said earlier, Eusebius stands for justice and equality, whether it was around the rights of marginalized people, transgender, gay, LGBTIQA people, anyone. Eusebius was there. Very, I can't even say elegantly, because even in a non-elegant way, Eusebius held the space. He held the space for himself. He certainly held the space for me. He held the space for people. And so it is with joining in with the rest of the country and the board, I'm sure, that I absolutely mourn the loss of this great, great, great man. I'm so, so sad for Meduza, because when he met him, his life changed and he became a person in love. And it was wonderful to see Eusebius in love. And we could talk about that and laugh about that. You know, it was just wonderful.
Definitely.
What joy he had in his life after that time as well. And so I do send my incredible respect and compassion to his partner of love and life and to his family, especially to his father, and to say that he shall be sorely missed, certainly by me and the rest of us. So thank you for welcoming my voice to be able to pay tribute to this wonderful man.
Dr. Eve, I think what you said captured who Eusebius was beautifully, and your connection with Eusebius was evident through your voices on radio, through the meaningful discussions that you had. And I'm saying meaningful simply because they were uncomfortable, and that's what radio should be at times.
Yeah.
We can't just be prim and proper. I would almost cringe in some instances and think, how was I going to handle such a very complex subject? And the two of you would manage to play this amazing tennis match on radio that left the one who was watching and listening feeling as though they're on the court themselves, to use the analogy. and also holding the racket. So it was a meaningful time. You educated us. You opened our eyes, not just white people, but black people as well, in some instances, because it goes both ways, you see. There are things that we are continuously learning, especially on the issues of racism. But also your demeanor, your non-assuming manner on issues, given that you are an international expert on what you are doing, also honestly added so much value. So I'd like to say... Thank you, condolences to you as well. It's your loss as And all the best. Yeah, travel safely. Travel safely.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Dr. Eve, who needs no introduction whatsoever, particularly on 702. For 4 years, they co-hosted a segment on UCBS's show, and they really did a lot. So with that, we thought we could ask her to at least come through and share her thoughts with us. 011-883-0702, 24 minutes after 9 o'clock. We are paying tribute to the great UCBS Makaiser. Don Klatso was a close friend and business coach of UCBS Makaiser. Don, thanks for making time for us at a short space of time and for coming through. Really appreciate it. I hope you are hanging on there.
Thank you. I'm feeling a little bit steadier now than I was earlier today. Thanks for the invitation. It's my privilege to pay tribute to UB.
How would you remember him, particularly from the business aspect? UCBS wanted to be excellent and perfect in all areas, even those that he knew very little about, but he'd be the very first to concede that he's an amateur in a particular area, if he was. What was your experience of UB as a business coach to UCBS?
Well, our relationship first began when we both worked at a radio station of another name, where I questionably had the privilege of being his reporting line. And I recall, I think the first time that we really developed a relationship was where he had been a bit direct in his adjectives that he used with a member of government. And I was instructed to call him in to a disciplinary, yeah, which I tried to reject, but was given a directive. And to be honest, I felt a bit like, because I was a person who once owned a pussycat, that I was now being thrown into a cage and asked to tame a lion.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget watching him walk down through the open plan area towards me with those guns of his, which were already very large before he did his more recent gym obsession with lifting weights. And I just saw this very calm approach of, as he took decided steps down the aisle towards me with all of the staff watching in amusement. And, you know, the engagement was more like, won't you do me a favor and in future just temper your adjectives? and that was about the extent of the disciplinary.
Yeah.
And I think that really captured what Eusebius was all about in the foundation of our relationship. He was so exceptional in such an understated way.
Yeah.
He had this magnificent mind that was trained both from an academic point of view. He was a world master debate champion. He was a prolific writer. He loved language. And as you say, he set the standard for himself, not only in terms of language and debate, but just in terms of his philosophy and moral standards. And he put himself out there open for examination and expected the rest of the world to be prepared to engage on the same basis. So he was very fair, but very committed.
Definitely. And as a friend, Don, some light moments that you remember with UB. Of course, you're a business coach, but also a friend. Anything that comes to mind, especially at a time like this?
Well, I just I think one of the things I'm going to miss the most is that if you knew you'd be well, you would get to recognize the twinkle in his eye because he had a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah.
And he would just have this very engaging way of asking a very innocent question and then would throw out these one-liners. And if you listen to any of his podcasts or you read his articles, there's always like a little twist in the tale. And sometimes he would just crack me up. We would be in a public place at a restaurant, and he would ask what would seemingly be an innocent question of a sexy waiter or something. And it would pass over the heads of everyone else, and they would look at this crazy woman sitting next to Eusebius and wonder why she was rolling around on the floor in laughter.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'd give him a good old punch on the arm, which would only serve to bruise my own knuckles.
Yeah, because he was such a bouncer.
Muscles. I just loved the way that he would arrive in a strange, brightly colored poncho and a pair of flip-flops in the middle of winter and really didn't carry any of the hang-ups that you know, so many of us do.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. And I think the other thing that struck me is often we'd be walking through a shopping center or a bookstore, and people would just like pounce on him.
Mm.
And I would always look at him in astonishment and kind of go, but these, you know, they're really imposing on your personal space and having conversations with you. And he would just see it as amusing and quite touching.
Yeah, definitely. All those and more that you've just described, Don, really appreciate your time and our condolences, our commiserations. And I don't know what to say because we've lost such a great individual, a lovely friend, a broadcaster of note. And Don, you are in our thoughts as well. Thanks for making time.
Yes, I feel like an absolute giant tree has fallen in the forest, and I think that the silence is going to be deafening.
I really miss
that, and it's at such a critical time for our country. There are going to be so many moments where I'm going to miss that challenger brand, as I used to call him.
Yeah, definitely. Don, all the best. Let's chat again very soon. Don Klatso was Eusebius's close friend and business coach. 011-883-0702. We will be playing some clips shortly, but I just don't want to keep some of you holding. And let's go to Lance Klassen, who was a friend and a colleague who also worked at 702, Lance, that is, but knew Eusebius before then. But also, he is a station manager at Rise FM in Mpumalanga. Lance, thanks for making time. Really appreciate it. How are you holding up, buddy?
It's not great. It's not great. And I'm glad that it's you that's calling me because we had a great relationship.
Yeah.
We were guests on his show at 702 and TED Talk. We were also guests on his podcast a number of occasions.
Yeah.
And we always had this great, robust interaction. In fact, people don't understand that if you know Eusebius as your friend and you come on air with him, there's no free ride.
No, none. Not at all.
He's going to let you off. And if I make a point and it's unsubstantiated, he's going to come after me in the same way he comes after any other guest.
Certainly.
And we're having a beer afterwards, but it shows you that there's a level of respect and candor for the profession. And that's what I loved about him. You know, what you got on air and what you got off air, it's the same values.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the same values.
And Lance, you're the right person to speak to about this issue because, one, you have known you before quite some time. But two, you've been in the media space forever. But thirdly, you've got a sharp mind that understands the fact that in our lives, we are not either black or white. There are other various colors, not just gray in between, that permeate therein. It could be that, Lance, I am a great person to you, but to Chris, who's in the studio here, he would experience me differently, perhaps, and tell people that I was not good at all. But one thing that I'd like you to reflect on, if you will, is the issue of Eusebius as a professional and as someone who was obsessed with perfection, particularly on radio production, so much that if you didn't know Eusebius, you'd think he's a very cruel individual, especially if you're working with him, because he demanded the very best of the best. Say something about that, Lance, because I think there's something to be said.
He was tough on producers, eh? There's no doubt about that. And you speak to some of the producers that worked with him, and it wasn't a nice side. Some of them don't have pleasant experiences. And it wasn't meant really out of malice. It was meant out of, we need to get this stuff together.
Yeah.
We need to raise the bar. If I had to take you into the mechanics of how he puts together a show, it's not on the day, hey, let's go and do something. His programming was 2 weeks in advance.
Yeah.
That means the time to think, research, and work it through. Megan Lupka, one of his previous producers at CNO2, excellent producer, excellent.
Mm.
She would work like weeks in advance. So let's say you wanted to get something, and what's the obvious thing that's not there? And one of the obvious things is like, we're going to do a show on the Bunny Chow and the Gatsby, the history of food.
Yeah.
Now, that's a fascinating topic because we all eat. And these are the kind of meals that we've all had.
Yeah.
And you'd find historians, you'd find chefs, cooks who actually make the thing. And you go into the history and go into what makes it. And then you eat in the studio, which is a no-no, but you would do it because, it's for the purposes of radio. And that's what was there. So we all know about the things where you hold politicians to account. When he coined the phrase, the montage, to change your mind.
Yeah.
And I would use humor to make a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, one of the daily techniques that he did very, very well was he didn't interrupt people when they were having a go.
Listen, Lance.
And then you held into account.
Yeah. Load shedding is jealous of this interaction. So your line is not very clear. I'll have to say goodbye, buddy, because the interaction is not so good. You're not so audible. But very briefly, in closing, last words.
Now, we've lost something, and we've lost something special. I can only echo what everybody else is going to say, that with him and the passing of Karema and the passing so many other journalists, Arani Gwala, it's like we're not getting the sense of holding politicians and politics and positions to account.
Yeah.
That's what we're missing.
Thank you so much, Lance Klassen, friend and former colleague. He is now in Mpumalanga at Rise FMS station manager. 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Opening the lines to you now to pay tribute to the great Eusebius Mkhize. And let's go straight to Nkululeko. And after Nkululeko, we'll play something small, a small clip just to remember our friend, our former colleague, and a great individual. Nkululeko in the Vaal, hi.
Hi, Tabo, how are you?
I'm free. How are you, Nkululeko?
Good. I think the passing of Eusebius is not just the loss to you guys, it's to everybody. And when I heard the news, the first thing I phoned, it was my 13-year-old daughter, because we used to listen to him in the car. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am so shocked that Eusebius has passed on. But I'm the daughter of a photojournalist, and that's the other reason. Listening to Eusebius made me fall in love with journalism. Mm. He made me fall in love with 702, how you take on and tackle the debates as well. And another thing is, when I registered for my PhD, and I said to myself that I would love to interview him, because my PhD is based on my dad's photographic journey. And I said to myself that I'd love this man to be part of how journalism has evolved from the apartheid to this, to the journalism currently. But as well, I started even following him even after he left 702. I would listen to his online debate and I would laugh. And I also loved his laughter. Yeah. And it's such a loss. It's such a loss. And my daughter used to say, Mommy, I love how he tackles, especially when it comes to politicians. He would get straight to the point. And online, he'd also even speak about his own personal journey on how this show has meant to him. And I remember when he left the station, his father called, his partner called, and all of us were tearing up. And like, I don't know who's going to come in because he's leaving such a huge gap. The person who's going to take over must be very brave, because how do you meet up to such high standards of Eusebius that he has left? And, you know, as I'm talking to you now, my eyes are tearing up because he is such an amazing human being, such an amazing and academic person, such an amazing journalist, and how he also cared for people to take responsibility for their own actions. And for me, that's more important than anything else. So I think, you know, it's not just your loss, it's everybody's loss.
No, definitely. The loss is...
Everybody's loss.
It's South Africa's loss. It's everyone's loss. And it really hits home. It really hits home because he contributed so much. He changed the broadcasting landscape. He really altered it for the better. He introduced an interesting element of accountability, of intellectual stimulation, and he really went out of his way to hold people to account. So Nkululeko, thank you so much for that. And you've just reminded us of a moment, Nkululeko, when his father called just to prank him on air. This is what I remember about that call.
702.
Open line. 21 minutes before noon, and we've got 20 more minutes left, you and I, on the Eusebius Mackayser Show, on this, my final show on 702. Let's go to the lines. Muzuki Isi, hello.
Eusebius, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
That's great. Thanks for your good work.
Thank you.
We're going to miss you. You were part of my daily program.
I can't believe I didn't recognize his voice.
Yes, my big boy. Are you all right?
I'm good. I'm just wondering, yeah. Oh my God, my closest was swak. I can't even vertel wat nou gesê word. Die almal gaan nou weet. Ek kan nie eindelijk recht praat. For those who are wondering, this is my dad who's calling in, who is fully fluent in Xhosa.
Okay, Yugi. Ons het jou show baie geniet.
Mm.
Ons het dit baie mis. Play humble. Ek is baie trots op jou, laat jou voete plat op die aarde hou. Ek het baie geleer van jou show af. Was baie educational. En met die lockdown het jou show een groot rol gespeel in my leven.
Mm.
Ek het basis een dagelijkse routine gehad. Luister naar jou show. Na 12 uur begint ek te gym. Vat ek een uur break. Daarna begint ek te kook. So alles van die beste voor en toe met die nieuwe richting waar jy gaan inslaan.
Mm.
En baie lief vir jou.
Ek waardeer het. Een vraag.
Yes.
Wanneer mense nonsens praat van my op Facebook, hoe reageer jy?
Man, dit laat ons op bloeddruk opgaan. Maar het is maar nou deel van dit. En soos die een bellet vroeg en gesê, ingekool het vanochtend om te sê dat daar is maar mense wat het haat en daar is mense wat jou show like. So,
ja, dat kom met die territory.
As it comes.
Ja.
Ja.
Thanks, Daddy. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, boy.
Cheers.
See you then. Bye.
Oh, my goodness. We normally prank each other. So on this one, he won. I can't believe it took me that long to actually recognize his voice.
And that was Eusebius together with his dad on his last show on 702. It's completely unbelievable that he's normal. I'm still refusing to believe it. I don't know. It's as though he's going to call. It's as though he will just walk in. But someone who also knew Eusebius very well, also a colleague and a friend, Makuru Sefara, with whom they worked at Times Live. At I shouldn't say Times Live as such, because Makuru, your entity is far bigger than that. But nonetheless, welcome. Thank you so much for making time, and thank you for honoring this invite in the last minute. I really appreciate it. Welcome, Makuru.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
It can be an easy moment right now. I can just imagine you guys used to discuss a whole lot of issues, his columns, the angles on current affairs, the back and forths that you'd have. Sometimes I'd be sitting with them and it'd be saying, Makuru is asking about this. I can just imagine your loss, Makuru. Say something about that.
Yeah, I don't know. You're quite right. About the fact that it took me personally a bit of time to actually accept. So when the call came this afternoon, I was in a meeting with the CEO about something, and you know, then it disrupted all of that, and I then just moved into the newsroom. And for a few minutes, I was able to focus. So I spoke to the news editors about what just happened. And, you know, one of the news editors, Sam, helped with a bit of just extracting the background and writing it in a way that we could publish it. And then another news editor, you know, took what I needed to say. So we write the top of the story. And once we communicated and put the story out that Eusebius has passed on, I then retreated to my office, and it was only then that, you know, the whole thing became real. And that's when I broke down. Yeah. I mean, I then just left the office and sat there for quite a while, until we could, you know, process and work on whatever other things that needed to be worked on. Mm. But yeah, so, and even when the call came, as I was in the office of the CEO, they spoke to the CEO's PA, Lerato. But I, you know, both of us, the CEO and I, Z Malunga is our CEO, we're like, no, are you sure? And because my phone was in my hand, I then, you know, just thought, whatever this thing is can be true. I speak to Eusebius all the time, so let me just phone him.
Yeah.
And then I phoned, and it rang the first time, the second time. And then the third time, it, you know, the reality started sinking. And then I thought, no, but I also liaise with Jackie. PA.
PA, yes.
So I then phoned her. And, you know, for the first few seconds, it wasn't answered. And eventually she answered. And I didn't want to ask her, how are you?
Because
that would then force her to answer the question that I needed to ask without me asking the question. So I then asked the question, is it true?
Yeah.
And, you know, she just broke down and cried. And I, you know, yeah, at that point, I was still trying to be the editor. And I then just thought, okay, let's get the facts. You know, what just happened here, what happened, what do you know? But it wasn't a real conversation, because she was emotional, and I was, it was quite...
It can be easy, and Eusebius used to produce quite a lot of content for you guys. I know that he would, and in a short space of time, by the way, given that some people require more time to produce a column, thought process, and he was just a machine that produced on it. You would know far better than me the quantities, of course, Makuru, but all I'm trying to say is the work ethic, but not just the work ethic, the passion about his work. He would want it in a certain way. How pedantic was he? And I'm sure he gave you guys a bit of trouble in as far as putting the entire work together. The aesthetics, the optics should be this way and this way, and the wedding of the did he give you a tough time around those?
Yeah, no. Managing Eusebius is some kind of a full-time job of sorts. So yeah, he paid, and I mean it's a good thing for me to, you know, as an editor, to have somebody who pays attention to detail like that, because part of being an editor is to do that, is to look at, you know, everything. Is the comma where it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
Is the syntax as it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
And so on and so on. And so when he got on board and he was paying that much attention to detail, I like that. But also at the same time, he would insist on certain things, like he would want, in the conversation with his dad, you could hear the speak Afrikaans and speak Xhosa and other things.
Yes.
So he'd find something that is not in English and kind of put it in his suggested headline.
Yes.
And you would then look at it and say, I'm not particular about this, so let me just put it through. Let the subs decide how they want to play it.
Yeah.
And if they messed it up a little bit, like even if it's not incorrect, but the meaning is not exactly what he had in mind.
Yeah.
You know, you will hear from
it
him.
It throws a fit. Yeah.
You know, so, but that kind of passion, as I say, is a thing that that we welcomed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I suppose I must also mention that, I mean, you know, as an editor, you look at the team and you know that people bring different strengths to the to your output. So this one may be strong in with the churn and stuff, and you deploy them accordingly. And so one of the things I liked about having a person like Eusebius on the team was that he would find the less obvious angles. And he, say you're dealing with a budget speech by the finance minister, he wouldn't just want to deal with the obvious things. So how much has been allocated to the fight against crime, and so therefore what does it mean?
Yeah.
That's not his piece of analysis. So he would want to pick up on something. I mean, you know, the other day we were looking at the State of the Nation address, and he waited until everyone did their pieces of analysis and he came afterwards.
Yeah.
And he said, out of everything, the one thing I'm picking up that I need to explore further is this statement by the president. And it's just one line in the entire speech that the president made. And that line was that the president, I think at the time, said, as South Africans, we are a resilient people.
Oh, my goodness me. And I remember
and
that, yes.
By that, the president meant that we are able to go through adversity and overcome. We are subjected to all manner of hardships and so on. And so Eusebius picked up on that line and said, actually, we don't have to be resilient.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't have to be put through these things unnecessarily.
Yeah.
And he did a whole analysis piece, which was over 1,000 words.
My goodness, and he could write. He could write. Makulu, yeah, listen, sadly, I'm flat out of time. We will make time again. We were just taking immediate reactions, and I thought of you that you need also to have your say. I know that you worked very closely together, and your pain is our pain. I just want to wish you and the rest of the company the very best during these difficult times. I can't wish you strength because I don't want to be like the president and say you are resilient. I just want to wish you warmth and courage during these difficult times. And all the best to you. Yeah. Really appreciate it. Makulu Sefara, the editor at Times Live. 011-883-0702. It's now 7 minutes to 10 o'clock.
This is so hard for me. This is really, really hard for me. May so rest in peace. This is hard for me. Prince and David View.
Good evening, Thabo and 702 listeners. Oh, Thabo, I'm so shocked. You know, I got a call this afternoon from my wife in Joburg. I'm working in Pretoria, and she told me about the passing of OCBS. I was so shocked. I couldn't even believe. Then after the afternoon to 702, I heard this afternoon, is it Paul who was talking about it? Then I'm still shocked because of the last time I phoned, I remember it was OCBS that he was talking about the speed. I was people driving. I told him that I was driving a BMW. I clocked 260. They were so shocked about it, but I said, thanks, I'm still alive. It was so wonderful to speak to OCBS. And one other thing, that Clement Manyatela, the time he took over, I couldn't even listen because of I was so upset the time OCBS was leaving 702, but I'm still part of the family, and Clement is doing good. All the 702 people, I'm part of the family. And speaking from yesterday's in Pretoria, thanks a lot. May his soul rest in peace.
Good evening, Thabo, and all 702 listeners. Thabo, this is Sebastian from El Dorado Park. I just want to extend my condolences to the Eusebius family and also to all 702 people that knew him. I knew him as a good presenter that always take challenges and never, ever gave up a fight. He was one of the best that I've ever known, and he made me think. He was one that made me think before I ink or before I speak. So, Mr. Eusebius Makaiza, RIP, my friend, till we meet again.
Hi, Aubrey. Aubrey, I heard earlier that Eusebius is no more. Mobile from Alberton here, and I thought to myself, no, no, no. And I'm listening to your show again. I'm hearing the same thing. And I'm just avoiding social media because they're going to confirm that it's true. I can only imagine what the family is going through and what his partner are going through and his close friends, because I'm just a 702 listener, and I am... It's still unbelievable.
Without any waste of time, sister giving us a call from Q. Hi, sister.
Can I hear you, Thabo?
Hi, ma'am.
I won't even say ask you how are you, Thabo. Mm-hmm. Yo, my condolences to Nduduzo and Eusebius' father more than anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Thabo, that guy, you know, some of us listeners, we met through Eusebius' show. We didn't know each other, but we were engaging in his show every day in the morning. We started connecting on Twitter. We started because, you know, when white people think Eusebius made them uncomfortable, Eusebius made all of us uncomfortable.
Sure.
Eusebius made us as black people
so
uncomfortable for not asking questions, for sitting in our corners. If you weren't doing anything, he, you know, the questions he asked, you'd sit and start asking yourself, why am I not being an active citizen, even if it has to be where I live? I didn't have to do go far, just where I am. So, you know, that's the kind of person you see this was. This was just, like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like,
no, I understand.
You know, when I heard the news today, I was just like, I kind of thought, no, something is wrong, and I stopped, and then load shedding happened, then I couldn't connect to anything, and I tried my friends who, you know, are closer to him than I am, and we started talking. It's like that's the thing.
Sister,
it's
we have to leave it at that, sadly, because of the news mainly. I always enjoy talking to you, and you know that. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And condolences to you as well. Gabaza, you are in Joburg. Hi.
Hi, Tabo, how are you?
I'm free, sad but free. What's on your mind, Gabaza, and how are you?
I'm grieving perpetually. I used to see Eusebius in Hyde Park on the way to Exclusive Books, and you'd always be sitting with Reedy at Tasha's, and I used to wave without even knowing him. And then I became a regular caller on the show, and he knew me by name until I actually got the opportunity to be a part of the literature quiz that I won twice in a row.
Oh man! Oh man! Look at you.
and I, you know, and he used to call me fabulous. And I think the thing about Eusebius is one thing I'm taking away is the importance that we all have to remember about adding value. You know, fundamentally, I think his background and his education and his worldviews actually really inspired people to engage with what they thought, you know. If you said something to Eusebius, he would interrogate your thoughts to interrogate whether you understood what you were saying about your thoughts.
Gabaza, I must leave it at that. I really, but please stay tuned. I would like to complete this thought process after 11 if you are still awake.
No
sadly,
problem.
I must run for news. And everyone else who wants to continue with their tributes,